Welcome to The Complete Musician, creativity at its core, exploring innovative musical ideas, thoughts, and techniques for the modern musician in today's society, with your hosts, James Nagus and Drew Phillips.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Complete Musician Podcast. I'm Drew.
And I'm James.
And we are in the same room.
We are. For the first time since last time we were.
Right.
Which was approximately...
like a year and a half ago.
2017? Did we do a podcast a year and a half ago in the same
room? Well, we were in the same room for Southeast.
Oh.
But yeah. You're right, for the podcast in the same room, that was in Missouri.
Yes.
Yeah.
2017.
That was a long time ago.
And actually the situation was the same because it was a pre-recital podcast, I think.
That's true. It was.
And here we are. And today's episode is about a pre-recital. Or about a recital, I guess.
It's exactly.
It's a pre-recital.
So at the posting of this podcast, which is approximately 30 minutes after we finish recording it, that means that tomorrow, Monday, September 15th, we're giving a recital.
Hooray.
And we thought it would be kind of fun to talk through the pieces and give you a little bit of extra insight, since we're not going to be doing long program notes on the recital itself.
That remains to be seen.
I suppose so. Depending on how tired...
we tend to tell stories.
Yes.
And pantomime.
Yes. Yes.
So there could be a million things that could happen. Who knows?
And we can also just make up stories about each piece, but today is nothing but the truth. So before we dive in, tomorrow, Monday, September 15th, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
Yes, Eastern Time.
If you're in Athens, Georgia, come in person. If you're not, it'll be live streamed.
Tune in online.
We would love to have you watch. There won't be any forms for you to file grievances or chat during the recital, but you can send us a note afterwards, tell us how much you hated it. or
just that's the option. Actually, we did do that one time. We did the digital concert with the live chat. That was really fun.
We did.
Yes. It would be really fun to do those, but those are a lot of work.
And we'll talk about that more later, because that's one of the pieces.
Yes, that is true. That we are doing this piece. But we can go through the program.
Yeah.
So the first piece in the program, I don't know how this happened. I do know how this happened, but it's a lot of my music.
It is.
Like, it's a lot of my music.
You have five pieces, I have two.
That's please great. Tune in, even if you want to hear a lot of James' music, that you will be hearing a lot of mine. So don't let that turn you off. But yeah, the first piece is called Solemn Trails. And the last time we played that together was on that stage.
Mm.
In 2020.
2020.
Yep.
Before the end times.
Yes. And that recording is on YouTube.
It is.
It's a good one.
Yes. And I like this piece. This was my non-negotiable piece that I wanted to do. Just because it's super pretty. And I think it's a nice way to start the program. Just something making nice sounds.
Yeah.
It's not as stressful as a piece as the one I have to play after that.
And it's also not too solemn.
No.
It's like, there's some happy moments in it. It kind of starts sad.
So where did the title come from?
Honestly, I think in the program notes that I have online for it, I think I wrote it. It was during winter, and it was like one of those stretches of winter where you don't see the sun for a really long time, and everything was just kind of gray.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think about how, like, that whole seasonal depression thing where you just, when you don't see the sun, you just get kind of like morose about everything.
Yeah.
And so it was like every day was like, I want to feel some warmth. And
you wrote about sadness.
I did. So I was reflective. That's what it was.
Okay.
It was reflective. Okay. And so, yeah, that's really where it came from. And this is actually a piece I wrote for no reason other than just writing it. Because a lot of the pieces that I write, it, like one that we're playing later on this, are written for people.
Right.
And for a specific purpose, but this one was not. This was just to write it. So it
that's
was just,
a good reason.
Yeah, it was just pretty, and it's fun to write pretty horn and pretty piano, and it is pretty rhythmic. I will say that. There's a lot of like triplet and eighth note interplay in it that can make it a little, I don't want to say tricky to count, but the horn line floats a lot.
Well,
which
that's
kind of nice.
That's kind of a element of your writing style, I think, is a sense of kind of inner rhythm, but a lot of hemiolas and ties over bar lines. And
Well, I stole that from you.
Because
you do that a bit.
I stole it from someone else.
It's
just stealing upon stealing.
Kleptomania.
But no, it's a really pretty piece. It's a nice way to start. And
it's nice.
I think if you're looking for a approximately 5-6 minute piece
to
add to a recital, it's a great one. It feels good on the face. Audiences go crazy for it. I hope.
Also, I just realized that as I'm sitting here drinking a protein shake that I've been playing with a cap and it's been clicking, and that's going to be very annoying. So I'm sorry.
Well, let's take a quick break and do some ASMR folly work. This is my soda can.
These are my peach rings. I haven't opened up yet.
Whoa, okay, that made
that
the
was
microphone
really loud.
Go
oh,
spike.
No, we're going to have to...
We might have to cut that out.
Oh, no.
If there's this random sound effect in there, that's why.
You're right. That was a lot louder than I thought it would be.
Okay, we'll fix it in post.
Yes.
Next song, we have... song?
Piece? It's a song.
Okay.
El Songo.
Is called Sacred Secrets. It's a piece I wrote. It was a commission for Freudis. And so it was kind of the namesake of Freya and some of the lore behind that. And a rough, loose interpretation of that, but something like timelessness, love, anger, love lost, timelessness. Something like that.
It says on the top of it, the love goddess.
The love goddess, yeah.
Yes, Freya.
Freya. And I don't know, it's, you know, just got sections. It's kind of tone poem-y. And it's fun.
This is my non-negotiable.
Okay.
Yeah. This was, I absolutely love playing this piece, and every chance I get, I play it. And, I think it does everything on the horn anyone ever wants to do on the horn, and it's beautiful. And the piano writing, the horn writing is just gorgeous. So this was my non-negotiable. I wanted to play it, and so I said we're playing it.
And it's not the best key for horn, but it works okay.
It's just a lot of sharps.
Yeah, it's sharps.
But the notes are good. Like, it's not, it doesn't make fingering a problem.
Yeah.
So it's actually good practice in playing in a key with a lot of sharps.
It's just kind of E-ish.
Yeah, it's like, and then the it's the middle section in like B.
B minor, I think.
Is it B minor?
Or B Dorian or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's lovely. It actually is a really good exercise, like I say, to play in like lots of 2-3 and lots of C sharps.
Yep.
But it's not undoable. So this is just gorgeous. If you don't know this piece, this needs to be played by a lot more of you horn players who are listening. Like, you need to do it.
And the reason that we say this is so we can make more money. I mean, no. Because we have bills to pay, and ASCAP's going to pay those bills.
That's what it is. You should just play it because it's gorgeous. And because James is amazing and puts all of his accompaniments online.
Oh, yeah.
So, actually, this is just... Actually, a lot of times when I'm getting in shape, or I just want to play, I honestly will pull out this piece and just play along to the accompaniment because I just like it.
Yeah.
So...
Well, it makes it easy for us to rehearse because that's me playing the piano part. So
exactly.
When we actually get together, it's like, well, you've been practicing with me even though it was a disembodied version of me.
Exactly. Right. Yes, just disembodied hands. And
we could train AI on that, and then I would never have to play piano again.
AI comes into this program later, so maybe
That's right.
Anyway. That's Sacred Secrets. It is just... It's gorgeous. I love it. And so, like I said, I had to play it. So
it'll be fun.
The first two are non-negotiables.
And
the rest of the program was we were strong-armed. So
well, the next part of the program is that we have the flexibility of doing fixed media stuff, which is fun, something that I think we both do that's a little bit more on the unique side of composition, but also something that has been popular, I think, just because of the nature of you don't necessarily need a pianist. You can travel with it. It, from wherever. A composer standpoint, it allows us to add more color into our music you have the whole world, possibilities. It's
endless.
Yeah.
And
but
so,
not in an overwhelming way. Like in a, I get to do this. Like I can use this sound now. It's cool.
Oh, it's fun. And it's also just from an audience perspective, variation.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Totally.
And so the third piece on the program is My Visions. And that was a piece that was written for Chris Castellanos. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I think I describe it as like little daydreams or, visions, mirages, scenes, just little, it's kind of varied.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of flavors.
It's wild.
The horn part is one of the harder things I've written, so.
It sounds so cool.
It's definitely one of those that I guess can sound easy, but isn't, but most of it's okay.
Yeah. Oh, idiomatic.
For the most part.
Yeah. It's like.
But, it's one of those things where sometimes when you write for yourself, at least when I write for myself, I write something that I can play with my eyes closed. When you write for other people, you write for their strengths and their technicality.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was just having this discussion in one of my comp lessons about the danger, so to speak, I guess, of writing for really good people.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that you can write something, especially if it's an instrument you don't know, which for me is horn, and you ask them, like, okay, what's playable? What can I make easier? And the good player will just say, well, I just need to practice this more. Like, I can do it. It's fine. I just need to practice it more. When you're actually looking for, well, no, like, really, how can I make this easier?
Yeah. Instrumentalists are also, like, bad about that, too, because we can write really hard stuff. And an instrumentalist, we're known for being, like, yeah, I can do that. And I'll just figure out how to do it.
Right.
Instead of, instead of being like, that's hard. But this isn't, this takes a little bit of work, but it's okay. It's like rewarding. That's the thing. It's like, it's okay to work at something if it's rewarding. Like, it's perfectly fine to do that, I think.
When you hit it, it feels really good. Like, it's one of those a high risk, high reward, I guess, right? Like you said,
don't think it's that high risk. I think it's not crazy hard. It's like,
it's fun. It'll challenge you, but that's what good music should do now and again.
Yeah.
And that's that piece. And it also ends on one of the worst notes on the entire instrument, which is a low pedal F sharp.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The one that just, intuitively, naturally, is almost a quarter tone, if not more, sharp. And
it just happened to work out that way.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, what's next?
Next is another horn and fixed media piece. This is actually, I think it's funny to say, this is the, on a recital that we've given, this is the least that we will play with each other.
It's true.
This is the least we've ever performed on a recital.
Normally
with each
it's just back and forth.
Yeah, and normally we're always playing like either horn or piano. And this time there's like three times that no one else is playing. So it's kind of wild. Anyway.
Just because it's
fixed media and like we don't.
We've written more fixed media stuff since we last played.
Yeah, like, yeah. I started. Like, I hadn't done it until last year. So,
yeah.
So that this piece is called Metamorphosis, and it is the first piece I ever wrote for horn and fixed media because I really wanted to get into the space, but I felt so technologically overwhelmed. Mm. I didn't know what to do. So, you gave me a ton of hints. And a ton of ideas, and because if you remember, this piece took a long time to write because I started it in the summer, and remember I sent you like the Sibelius file because process in doing fixed media now has changed because I wrote a lot of it in Sibelius and then I sent to you and you're like, you need better sounds and this is like how you can do it, and that was really helpful. Like, it was really, really helpful because I started building my library and getting familiar with some of those programs, and so this is my first attempt at it, and I wrote it for me, and the title, I didn't have a title. I'll show the audience tomorrow night that on my Sibelius file I have fixed like the version that other people have played, but I'm still playing off the version that I originally did, and it's still called Something. So the top of my music says Something for horn and fixed media because I never came up with a title. This was premiered by Dr. Dakota Korbliss at Southeast. at UGA. So this piece was premiered on this stage by someone else, yeah. And now I get to play it on the stage.
A year and a half later.
Pretty cool, yeah. So I'm excited about playing it. It's definitely stuff that I absolutely love to do on the horn. There are some challenges in it, but I think it's cool. It sits in A, which is like not my favorite key in the world. It's also again, a lot of C sharps and E's and that kind of thing. So if it was a half step higher, I think it would have been so much easier.
Well, you could play it a half step higher.
I could.
And not change the accompaniment track.
Uh-oh. Some notes would be cool. That's right. It's a lot of Lydian, so that would resolve a lot of it. Or no, it wouldn't. It would...
one note.
Yeah. Either way. So anyway, it's cool. I had a lot of fun. But Dakota's wife came up with the title. Did I tell you that?
Really?
Yeah. Okay. It's because I sent it to him and I said, I don't have a name. Right. Help. And so he let his wife listen and she said, it sounds like it's morphing through the piece.
Okay.
Because it has a lot of different sections and they all have some slightly different feels to them. And so he said, or one of them said, Metamorphosis. And I was like, great, let's do that.
There it is.
So that's the title of it. And like I said, it's my first attempt at fixed media. And I've done a lot since then. I've learned a lot since then. So yeah, it's fun. I think it's exciting. I think it's kind of neat.
I mean, the thing with fixed media, like we said, is it gives you so many colors to play with. So yeah, just from a listening variation standpoint, I mean, piano is nice, but and it can be colorful, but not in the same way that fixed media can be. And then you can have some really low rumbly bass stuff.
Oh yeah,
which is fun too. Shake the whole house.
Yeah. So anyway, that's Metamorphosis.
And then we go on to back to horn and piano.
And I have to play piano now.
Yes. you have to you play piano on two pieces.
I do.
Play piano on one piece.
Yeah.
And so I'm back on horn on this piece because it's your composition, which is what we normally would do.
Yes. We normally play each other's horn part and our own piano part.
And this is both the first time we've played it together and also not.
Exactly. We have played this together in a remote way.
Yes.
Yes. So this piece, this is Mesosphere. And this was written, this is one of the compositions that I wrote for a student. So I write a piece for all my students' senior recitals. And so this is the one that I wrote for one of my students. Her name is Julia. And she is she's a elementary teacher or a preschool music teacher, excuse me.
Oh,
fantastic. Out in Eastern Virginia. And so this is a piece I wrote for her. And I also accompany them on their recital because it's just kind of a fun collaboration between the two of us. Mm-hmm.
Good excuse to write too.
Yes, and a lot of output honestly has come from writing for the students, which is fun. It gets me writing and it gets them something new, and the challenges that they have never heard of before because it's never been played before. So it's good. It's really good for them. This piece is absolutely one of those pieces that is trademark my piano, which is it's slightly too hard for me. And
sounds familiar about my piano writing too.
It's not even the piano part's too hard, it's the page turns are too hard, and I'm not coordinated enough with my feet to use an iPad. So there's some wild page flipping that will come in this piece, and if you're in the audience tomorrow night, you might be called upon to sit on stage and turn pages for me. That is a real thing that might happen.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't an issue when we did this the first time, because we did it remotely.
We did, yeah. Recorded each part separately. From many, many miles apart.
Yes.
And then slapped it together digitally.
Yes.
And it was actually a lot of fun, but also pretty unsatisfying in a way. Because you're just playing with the recording.
Yeah.
But that was for... We did that for UCA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Central Arkansas?
Mm-hmm.
With Brett Shires.
Yeah.
And we put together a whole digital recital. And it had a digital residency. And it was just that time, you know, where a lot of things were going digital. And... Yeah, ended up turning out pretty darn good.
It did. And it's still online. You can go watch the whole thing. And we did a live chat during it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really fun. To give like secrets and insights on the piece and respond to people who are listening in real time.
I mean, I guess we could do that tomorrow night if you wanted to, in the middle of either between movements or in the middle of a piece, stop and be like, hey guys, are you liking this? Thumbs up.
We get Instagram live and just like I could live chat the whole thing.
Right.
Oh, that'd be wild. No, we won't do that tomorrow night, but maybe more digital recitals are in the future. I mean, it was a lot of work, and it is more fun to play live. I mean, it's way more fun to do it live, mm-hmm. but we are miles and miles apart, so mm-hmm.
normally. And I like the kind of the theme of this one being clouds and atmospheric and floaty, oh, yeah. and I think the music represents the concepts pretty well, because of the way it is, because of the way it's written, and especially the horn part, just embodying kind of a sense of floatiness and soaring. And
definitely the second movement. Yeah, the first one's pretty dark. Not in mood, but just like dark sounds. It's a lot of dark sounds in the first movement. This whole accompaniment was my attempt at minimalism.
Oh, okay. Because mm-hmm. it starts with just that minor triad back mm-hmm. and forth. Or not triad, the minor third mm-hmm. back and forth.
Mm-hmm. And I was listening to a lot of Philip Glass at this point. Interesting. Okay. I was like, I wonder what it would be like to try and write minimalist accompaniment. And this whole second movement is just like contrasting two notes with like minimal changes. I think I was listening to Phrygian Gates or something. And mm-hmm. just, I wanted to try something like it. It definitely goes into a style of piano that is much more me. But... sorry, I was kicking the mic stand, everyone.
It's possible that in the recording we hear I was for the last 10 minutes, but
and James just gave me like stop. So anyway, that was I just want to make minimal changes in the last movement, and I think it's fun. It's a fun little part.
It is.
Yeah. We're here sitting on that one. It's like D flat Lydian or something. It is for some of it. The last notes are
concert pitch. My part.
Pitch. No. Hold on. The last notes of it are C, D, A flat that I'm smashing on my right hand in the piano.
Oh, okay.
So it's maybe it's not D flat. Maybe that was the keyboard pitch. I don't know. It's a lot of flats.
I mean, it tonalizes and modulates around, but
it does. It's a lot of flats.
It's very you, mm-hmm. and it's a pretty piece. Like the first movement is kind of similar in many ways to Solemn Trails.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's fun to play for sure.
Yeah, that's my sphere.
I don't know, we didn't really talk about the compositional elements of some of the other pieces. Oops. But they're just little interesting, probably boring tidbits, so we won't go back and talk about those. We'll keep on moving through, but yeah. If you want to between now and then listen to how it goes, it's on YouTube. Oh, yeah. Otherwise, tune in for a fresh take. Every note that we play is exactly the note that should be.
It will be perfect.
So if there's any disparities, it's because we're playing a new edition.
Exactly.
Huh? Yep, exactly. and so then we go back to fixed media.
Yeah, and this is mine again. This is called Songs of Joy, and this is what I wrote for my last faculty recital. And
this, it's so cool. I love this piece a lot.
This one is... A lot of the pieces I feel like I tend to write are like barn burners. Like the end of them are always really epic and loud. And I wanted to write something that would neither begin nor end a concert. It would be in the middle.
Interesting. Okay.
I wanted to write like a middle kind of piece. And so that's why it begins very softly and it ends very softly. There are three movements to this. And I just wanted to write something that brought me joy. So writing for myself again. And I didn't know what kind of styles I wanted to do the three movements in. I knew I wanted to be movements. And so I went to ChatGPT and I said, hey, give me three poems about joy.
I see.
And
okay.
The first two words of each poem are the first two words of every movement. So the first movement is Joy Whispers. The second movement is Joy Dances. And the third is Joy Breathes.
I like
and
that.
So,
yeah.
It was really, and the poems were beautiful. I don't have the poems anymore. I don't think. They might be on a note in my phone somewhere. But yeah, and that also inspired a lot of the sounds I used too. Because I tried to use different sounds every movement. So the first one is mostly strings and piano. Mm-hmm. And then the second one is a lot of guitar and like percussion and woodwindy kind of stuff that dances. And the third one, because of Breathes, is mostly choir.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting how sometimes titles can really inform the music that's made, and other times we do the other thing. We create the music and then figure out, like you said, yeah. working title or no title, and right. then, oh, okay, what does this sound like?
Yeah. So this is three movements. They're not very long. The second movement in particular is like, I think less than a minute. Like, it's short. Mm-hmm. The outer movements are a little longer, but it's, the outer two movements are slow and pretty. The middle one dances a little bit. And yeah, it's actually a very, very moderately, very easy horn part. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't want to write something not only to be super epic sounding or end a recital, I wanted it to be something I didn't have to stress about. And I wanted it to be something that was super accessible, and the range is super accessible for everyone. So I hope you like it when you hear it. I think it's gotten a good review so far.
And I think we both tend to write, for the most part, thinking about that accessibility and that ease of playing and that happiness of playing. Because we don't want to be stressed out in recitals, so mm-hmm. we don't want you to be either. And I will say, for those who maybe haven't played fixed media stuff and have any trepidation, it's really easy to do, because at least our pieces, all it is stereo. So all you mm-hmm. need is two speakers. Ideally, they'd either be behind you, or you'd have a monitor in front of you facing you so you can hear it. And then you just have to have someone push the play button and, you know, check the levels to make sure the balance is good.
Yeah, which we will do later today.
And as far as balance, I know when I write, I kind of see the horn part as being almost within the texture. Like, I don't want it to be sticking out over the track too much. Because also, if this mm-hmm. track is too soft, it feels really uncomfortable to play with.
It's very alone.
It's exposed.
Yeah, it feels really alone. And that was the other thing we've gone through, especially on, the next track, is that we've done some equalizing to make sure it's also not too loud. Mm-hmm. It's striking the balance, and it also feels fun in fixed media if you're doing really something that's with a ton of color and a ton of sound, is to add to it, not to feel like you're riding on top of it mm-hmm. or trying to overpower it. That can be really tiring to you.
Or there might be sections where you want to be part of the texture. There might be sections where you do want to be on top. Mm-hmm. Same kind of thing of like my piece Saga, which we're not playing.
Ugh, another of my
favorites. It has no dynamics in the music. And people sometimes question that. Did you know that?
It doesn't?
No. And
I just add my own.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, you play what you think musically
didn't think about
it
that.
Should be.
Love that.
It's your approach of, okay, should I be loud here? Should I be soft here? What is the accompaniment doing? How do I fit in? It's kind of a personal choice that you don't necessarily get when dealing with piano as much. Huh. And so that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. It's not that I forgot. Which, honestly, truthfully, at this point, I don't really know. I don't know if I just forgot to put them in.
Noticed. I thought, it has crescendos and decrescendos, right?
You know what? I'm not sure. Let's look it up right now.
Okay, we're going to do it right now in real time.
Little clicky clicky.
I feel like it might. Maybe not. I don't know. I love Saga. That is so much fun. But it like suggests, because you're right, the accompaniment suggests a lot of things.
Oh, where is
that?
Where is it?
Oh, man. What a good piece. If you guys haven't played Saga, so good.
Okay, so
good.
Pulled it up.
Okay, we're looking it up.
Nothing.
Oh my gosh, there's nothing.
Nothing.
Yes, there is. Wait. Yes.
There's one crescendo.
There's one. Wait. That's... Oh my gosh, this is literally it.
And there is four crescendos. And
I have never noticed that before. That's wild.
No dynamics. But you know exactly how you want to play it.
Oh, definitely. I've added, when I play it with like varying articulation and dynamics and growth and decay, because it just feels like you should.
And in a way, because it wasn't prescribed.
And I've done it differently, different performances too.
Right.
Like I don't do the same kind of shaping that I do when I first learned it.
Yeah. So
that's fun. Well, that's how a lot of our rehearsals go. If you've not been in rehearsal with us before, which... For recitals, we usually rehearse once, and mm-hmm. when we do...
Which will be tonight, which we'll... I can say that, because I know I'm putting up the podcast literally right after we record this, so it'll still be tonight. So if you want to come, it's an open rehearsal, 6:30 p.m.
Come and help us about. So we... But when we rehearse, a lot of what we're doing is actually a lot more balance any stuff than, like, oh, can you go faster? Or, like, can you go slower? Or it's like, because we anticipate each other a lot, and we don't, we just intuitively do musical things together, which is nice.
And
we don't have to rehearse a lot. It's more balanced. Like, oh, I want to be softer here. I want to, you know, just filling out stuff that's not ink on the page.
Yeah, and I'll ask you what you might want in a section, but at the same time, I think we both kind of defer to what the performer, what the horn player wants to do. It's like, well, yeah, if you want to crescendo on that note, go for it. That sounds good to me.
Yeah, I've added a lot of things to Sacred Secrets that are not written in the music, like some random forte pianos that I really like to do. And
that's called music making.
It's
once you learn the rules, you can break the rules.
That's true.
So okay, that leads us to our last piece, which is your new orchestration.
Yeah, this is a one that has been performed, but with two horns and piano originally. Again, this was written for a student, and Colton wants to say something.
Yeah, he just woke up.
Oh. Okay. Oh, he's coming over for pets now.
Yep. It's a play-by-play.
Yeah. So this was written for a student, and it was two horns and piano, and I played on the recital with the student, actually on horn on this one. And it was fun. This piece called Shrouded Pathways, and it has, it's very much like, I would say rounded binary, but it's like, it's got a slow, fast, and then slow again. So it's like, it's five parts, but they're, I don't know. It's interesting. But sorry, we had to kick him out.
Make sure that you enunciated the out in that sentence.
Yes, we kicked Colton out of the room.
Yes,
everyone. Yes. No.
Okay. We're back.
Yes, we're back. So this piece, we never get to play together on recitals when we do horn. Like, the last recital we did together, we did do Bipperies. That was the only time we've ever performed anyone else's work on a recital.
That's true.
Ever.
Yeah.
And so, because we always do our own music, and so...
We were also so tired at the end of it. We're like, let's just
I cut the last movement. I was so tired. I was like, I can't do a third one. And so, no, we're done.
Bipperies, they can easily overstay their welcome. So.
Two is good. So we're doing a new orchestration, and since I have delved into fixed media, I decided to reorchestrate the piano part for fixed media. And so this is kind of a premiere of it.
It is a premiere.
Horns. Of a new orchestration of a piece for two horns and piano that was originally that. It's way more epic now.
Mm-hmm.
It's super epic. It's very, very cinematic.
But the parts are written in a really accessible way.
It is.
I mean, we have our first and only run through of it tonight.
Yeah.
And then we're going to play it tomorrow night. And it's going to be great because there's nothing to worry about.
No, the range is barely two octaves. It's got really satisfying parts, I think. You get to play loud and kind of quietly, but it's nice. It was written to not be extremely difficult, written to sound pretty. As I try to make a lot of the pieces that I write for my students, it's always the last piece on their program, and I never want it to be a stressful thing. I want it to be something that they show off on. So accessibility is a huge factor, and also just something that they're going to nail. And so that's what this piece is, but I think it'll be enjoyable. It's got some really pretty and some really epic playing, so we'll have a good time.
I mean, it's going to be a recital that people won't know the music of, because there are premieres and people haven't heard stuff. So hopefully, like I said, it'll be enjoyable. It'll be different.
Yeah.
We'd love for you to tune in, listen, and then let us know what you think. So, just not bad comments. If you have bad things to say, then don't say anything at all.
There you go.
Because that would hurt my feelings.
Me too.
But if you have lots of praise, and just lay it on.
Yeah. I want to hear all that.
That would make me feel
Please
good.
Please boost our ego.
So.
Because if not, I'll have to eat a lot more peach rings to deal with it.
Yes, and you haven't even begun. You haven't even opened the bag.
I know, that was so loud. I was just, that was shocking.
So, anyway, I think we're going to kind of wrap the episode here. Even though it is kind of fun to do it in the same room. Because we don't have the awkward lag spikes.
Right.
And some random Internet talking over talking and things
and
like
people
that.
People knocking on the door if we're at work or something.
All kinds of weirdness. But I will say that are fortunate to say that this concert, or at least this podcast about the concert, does have a sponsor.
Oh, yes.
And that sponsor is?
The restaurant Ein Hildenberger.
Mm-hmm. They were gracious and in sponsoring
this
episode of the podcast.
They're also sponsoring food after the recital, so make sure you hang around because it's a very real restaurant with a very real food.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so right before we break, we're going to just get a word from our sponsor. And in fact, I'm getting word that, oh, here it is.
Are you ready for a fast food experience that'll make you feel like a hero? Can you handle dining that makes you a champion? Are you strong enough to start eating on a pedal E-flat? Well, this is for you. Come to Ein Heldenberger and...
Cowpoke, I own Nebraska, my Oklahoma.
It's the only German-named restaurant that only serves great food. Ein Heldenberger.
Where your dining journey makes you a hero.
I want a patty meal.
You're getting a hero.
What's a gyro?
It's Greek.
I like that beer.
You think it's German, but no. It's Greekish.
Just like Ein Heldenberger tells the story of a boy and maybe a goat who fight the evil powers of Beowulf that threaten to unleash the demons of Little Red Riding Hood upon Xanadu, and then they get cake, and I really, really like cake, and then my lift got stuck in a gate, and then it was fate, and I was late to find a mate. Oops, where was I? I mean, the goat suddenly died, and the boy was a hero, but not like a hero, but a hero, which is a sandwich. I mean, you get it already. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Come to Ein Heldenberger. Feel like a gyro.
Ein Heldenberger is not a real thing because no one would waste the time saying the entire name to go to the restaurant and is not affiliated with anyone or anything ever and does not actually exist and is not an official sponsor of the Complete Musician Podcast.
Well, we hope you enjoyed that sponsor, and we thank them again for sponsoring this episode and sponsoring the Core Moto Horn Duo and everything that we do so we can bring recitals like the one we just talked about to you.
And that's it. We're gonna play tomorrow, so tune in or come, and we're excited to see you. Yes, we're excited about it. You know how to get in contact with us on social media. We have an email, coremotohorn@gmail.com. We have a website you can visit for fun, and I think that's it.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Bye. Yeah. Bye.